Look at your neighbor and say, Goliath.
Goliath.
Trial or destiny? We've been dealing with destiny in the corporate anointing class. First lady got folks in the bowling alley wanting corporate anointing books. She set them up and didn't I get them. So, but that's good. Amen. It's supposed to be an outreach. Amen? Yeah. So we're going to look at Goliath. Let's 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and the 38th verse. Let's just read some of it. And Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. You know what? When I read that, something funny hit me. What hit me was the fact that Saul wasn't as crazy as people thought he was. He was trying to get David his armor for a reason. Because he already knew he couldn't hold, it was too heavy for him. That lets you know that Saul didn't have his best interest at heart. How many people you know like that? They volunteer to give you stuff, but it ain't to your best interest. Amen. That's why you have to be careful. I've been meditating on this word for about a week and a half. And God bless you. God's been showing me different things concerning Goliath. Jump all the way down. To the 45th verse. Then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Then Jehovah, when you see the Lord of hosts, it's Jehovah Sabaoth, which speaks of or denotes the host. God is a host of all things in heaven and in earth. So see, David is calling upon the power of God. But still, we still have Goliath. Goliath, who was a Philistine. We all know the story. The root meaning for the word Philistine is palash. It means to roll in the dust. Or it means to wallow in self. I don't know if you've heard it before, but Goliath represents flesh. He was a type of the flesh. Listen to this. His height was 6 cubits. Now, I can tell you what 6 cubits is, but if you write it down, you need to research it for yourself. I can't give you everything. His height was 6 cubits. The span, the length of his outstretched arms was 6 feet. He had 6 pieces of armor. His spearhead was 6 shekels of iron. We know that the number 6 represents the number of man. You think that he don't represent that? 6 is just stacked all over him. And this is what's standing up against the armies of God. This is what is standing up against the armies of God today. We're looking in the wrong places to see who's trying to destroy us. Amen. Flesh is trying to take us out of here. So when we look at Goliath, Goliath is also a type of trial, or it depends on how you look at it. Can he be part of your destiny? I used to preach years ago, I preached that we had the ability to change our destiny. But in the latter years, as I began to do some more research, I found out that we don't have anything to do with the destiny God has for us. Because if that was the case, when David did what he did with Bathsheba, he should have been done. And all the other crazy stuff that he did, he should have been done. But yet he still fulfilled the destiny that God had prepared for him. And it was prepared by God. The word destiny, it translated means a predetermined course of events considered as something beyond human power or control. I'm a believer of it because I'm here as a testimony of it. that you can trip on your own feet, you can get in your own way, and still do what God has already predestined that you do. So, is the Goliath that's in your life, is it a trial, or is it going to bring forth your destiny? That depends on you. So, Pastor, you just say that we don't have nothing to do with our destiny? You don't. God's going to do it anyway. But you sure can make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
You can get out of the way. All of us have a type of Goliath in our lives. Whether it's our finances, whether it's a loved one, whether it's someone on our job, whether it's a friend, whether it's a sickness, we have a Goliath in our life that's standing up defying the power of God that's in our lives. What do we do against this Goliath? I found out, First Lady, that the way I defeat this Goliath is first bringing everything under subjection to the power of God. That includes what I see, what I hear, what I feel, what I smell, and most importantly, what I think, Brother Tyrone. That's how I take control over the Goliaths in my life. I live according to faith and not by sight. Goliath tends to make us want to see, hear, feel, smell these things emotionally. That's what Goliath does. Goliath got them feeling some kind of way. They try to figure out, now when Goliath came out, Saul and all of them ran. And then, I'm reading y'all a story. Is that okay? Thank you. Appreciate that. I was going to do it anyway, but. Nevertheless, when they first, now, the Bible tells us, I know y'all read the story, how the children of Israel, the armies of Israel were on one mountain, and the Philistines were on the other mountain. And there was a valley in the middle. Well, that was predetermined also. Our lives are predetermined. What God has for you is for you. And you know what I found out? That no matter how much I get in the way, which is on a daily basis, God has the ability. He allows me to see my way through it, especially when I can't see my way. Y'all don't hear me this morning. The Bible says, when I am weak, that's when he's strong. So here we have this huge Philistine. Now, when it talks about 6 cubits, that meant that Goliath was over 9.5 feet tall. That's a big man. If you don't believe it to be so, we got some folks nowadays that height's 9 feet. I saw a special about people that were over 8 to 9 feet. And most of them have all kind of health issues. The Bible doesn't tell us that Goliath had any health issues. Now remember, this guy is 9 feet, 9.5 feet tall. He's got a coat of mail that weighs over 150 pounds. He's got a spear with a head on his spear that weighs 15 pounds. Amen. I'm trying to paint you this picture of Goliath. He had this huge helmet that it took 2 men to help him get it on. But check this out. Only one person carried his shield. How is that possible? It's possible because Goliath never really intended on using a shield, because everybody was either afraid of him or he overwhelmed everybody with his what? Power. You've got to stop letting the Goliath in your life overwhelm you and seduce you in your mind and make you think that God ain't God. Whatever he promised you ain't going to happen.
Amen.
I look in the mirror, I say, Goliath, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I think I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
So here we have Goliath, this huge, this beastly of a man. And he tells them, he says, I'll tell you what, I got a deal for y'all. If you send out somebody and they defeat me, we'll become your servants. But if I defeat them, then you'll be our servants. Well, this is about the time we realize that God's always got a ram in the bush. Now, how many know that David is the eighth son? Not the seventh. We know that eight is what?
New beginning.
God was looking for a new beginning from what Saul had already established in the land.
Amen.
Which was the spirit of cowardice, disobedience, selfishness. That's why he was afraid of Goliath, because every time he looked at Goliath, he saw himself. How many times when you look at your Goliath, do you see yourself? So David was the eighth son. Let me tell you something about destiny. When destiny wakes you up, most times you're not prepared for it. David's seven brothers, all dressed up in their army apparel, probably got their faces done, slicked their hair back, and went to the dinner. Well, David was out in the field with the sheep, so he was smelly. I'm sure he was. If you play football or did something, some kind of sport, or you did something outside for a long period of time, and you have to look at the territory that they were in, it was extremely hot territory. So Samuel says, none of these are it. You got one more, don't you? Well, now his brother's getting upset. Because what you want to do with him? He's just a little something. He smelled, his hair probably all over his head, and he probably looked like the sheep that he's taking care of. Saul said, go get him anyway, because we're not going to have this feast until he shows up. David don't get through the door, and God says, that's him. Guess what? You'll never be able to prepare for the destiny God has for you.
Amen.
But one thing for sure, if God called you and chose you, amen, at that appointed time, amen, it's going to take place.
Amen.
Amen.
So, here's David. We already talked about the way he probably looks, Sam. Small, but they said he was a good looking young man. But he'd been with the sheep all day. So David anoints him. He pours the oil on him, which we talk about in the corporate anointing class. The three types of the anointing. So he pours the oil on David. So now David, nothing changed though. David's still David. Even though God has anointed him at this particular time, which is the first of three anointings that he receives, he goes back to the field. He's doing what he's doing, tending the sheep, smelling like the sheep, looking like the sheep. But he's been called and chose by God. Sometimes you still got to go through what you go through, whether or not you know you've been called, chosen, selected, or appointed. One of my favorite sayings used to be, Lord, I don't deserve this. And when he finally spoke back, he said, if not you, who then? I found out, Pastor Keys, you can govern your longitude, but you can't control your destiny.
Amen.
When I listen to the different testimonies, that's part of your destiny. Don't matter what's going on. Weeks ago, Brother Tyrone and I talked. And he was talking about how he was the lowest in seniority on his job. Well, they laid him off. Destiny said, we're going to call him back. And they probably don't know why, but they called him back. Now, all them folks with their more seniority, they try to figure out how he raped. When you do what you do for God, destiny has the ability to go before you and change folks' minds. I don't know if you were here to hear Samantha's testimony. I love Therese because he ain't jealous. He probably feels the same way the wives do. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. If you don't believe it, you better wake up and smell the coffee. He liked it that time. Amen. So here we David. You know, David's quite a character. So he's doing me. So David's father says, David, I want you to get this stuff and take it down to your brothers. The reason I'm doing it like this, because I know you've all read this story. You've read this scripture. If you haven't, shame on you. So, look at 26. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies, and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now remember, here's David. It's a possibility, I don't know, I wasn't there, but it's a possibility that when his father called him in, he was doing what? Tending the sheep. So when he came in, he did exactly what his father told him. So that meant he didn't have time to go to the pond or the lake. So here he is standing in front of Saul. And his brother's probably smelling like the sheep. Well, he didn't have seen Saul yet. It was his brothers. And they want to know, why are you here? You're the smallest of all of us. And then somewhere it says, if the translation says, why ain't you back there taking care of the few sheep that you have? And you wonder why they all afraid of Goliath. We can't be fearful of the destiny that God has prepared for us. Paul said it like this so eloquently. Think it not strange the fiery trials that you will be subjected to. Going back to Jesus, when he said, these things that I do, you will do them also. Well, we fail to remember the fact that it says, if you're going to do them also and even greater, maybe your situations are going to be greater.
Yeah. Come on now. All right. Come on
if
now.
Not greater, longer.
Come on now.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. I'm almost done. Oh, you a little face. So David's brothers are going off on him. And David looked at him and said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him. I'm in the 29th verse of the 17th chapter. Toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after his former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Okay, Now Saul comes to the picture. But you have to remember something. That Goliath is still in all of their mindsets. So here David is. Now he goes to see Saul. And he asks Saul, what is the problem? Why are you folks letting this Philistine, uncircumcised Philistine, defy the armies of God? Don't you know that this is the same God that created the heavens and the earth? Don't you know this is the same God that brought our forefathers out of Egypt with a strong hand? Don't you know that this is the same God that opened up the Red Sea and parted the waters at the Jordan for the people of God? Don't you remember? And this one Goliath standing out there defying all of you. He said, let me handle it. Let me handle it, Saul, King Saul. And Saul looked at him like, what you gonna do? Well, I got news for you, Saul. When a lion and a bear took one of my sheep, I went and grabbed him by his whiskers and put a whipping on him and took my sheep back. But I could hear Saul say, well, them are animals. They would say, well, he's an animal.
All right.
Well, since you're so determined, here's my helmet. Here's my coat of mail. And David looked at him and said, look here, King. I can't even move in this stuff. How many folks you know always trying to put their journey on you?
All right.
And you just don't seem to be able to operate or move the way you were before you put it on.
Amen.
My
Lord,
my Lord, my Lord.
Come on, come on, I'm trying to tell you.
Wow.
You know you just said, I want to be like so and so. No, you don't. I used to say, Elder Joy said, man, I wish I had that gift of faith that Pastor Hart had. But then I started seeing some of the stuff Pastor Hart had to deal with. I looked up to heaven, I said, Lord, forget that last statement. I don't want his gift of faith. Let me have what's mine.
Go.
Bible says, be careful. What you ask for? Because you're going to get it. David said, I will go and fight this Philistine. We just talked, Saul said, 33, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. He'd been fighting since he was a little boy, David. What you going to do? You don't know how to fight. That's when David gets in to tell him about the bear and the lion. Amen. So David finally decides, here, King Saul, you can have all your stuff. I can't work it. So David gets his little sling. How many know that Goliath had four other brothers? And David wasn't the only one that used the stone. But he was the first. He was the forerunner. So here David is out there looking at Goliath, standing 9 feet and a half. And David, nobody knows for sure, but different commentaries say that David was probably a little over 5'7" at that particular time. So he's looking up at this giant, and he's telling him, I'm finna squash you, bro. And Goliath looked at him and said, little boy, go home and play with your toys. How many times have you told your flesh or you told flesh what you were going to do for God and then say, you better find something else to do. You ain't ready for this job. Some of y'all don't even went looking for the devil and found him. And he done told you, you ain't ready for me. Because what you fail to realize, I'm still a spirit. And you in your flesh. So David's standing there looking at Goliath. He say, Goliath, you done met your match already. He said, because I'm standing in the name of the Lord. You standing in your flesh. God will always war against the flesh, and the flesh will always war against the spirit, but God will always bring you out on top if you hold your ground and you stand still so that you can see the salvation of God. That's the hard part, standing still, because that don't mean you just standing. That means you got to pray. You got to meditate. You got to study. You got to do things to see God. The most simple scripture that we quote it all the time, but we never really look at the magnitude of what it is seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto. The most important two key words there are all things. Well, David, even in the Old Testament, understood this concept. I put God first in everything that I've done. Well, you wonder why he was chief shepherding the sheep. Well, you got to first be a servant before you can ever be a king. Amen. Amen. Folks want to jump right into kingship so they can get served. Give me 5-10 more minutes. Don't you look at that clock, Sean. Have you ever just sat back and read a story in the Bible and just imagine yourself in it? Like you can see the outcome. So David takes his sling and he takes a rock. And he hits Goliath right there. The Bible says he hit him right in his forehead. And Goliath fell to the ground. Well, what a typology of him hitting him in the forehead is that you will always have to attack the mindset of flesh. Amen. That seeks to separate you from everything that God has promised you. Amen. You know, we brought around a lot of folks who they respect the devil. They do. They respect the devil. I'll tell him in a minute. I ain't worried about him. I'm worried about me. He more afraid of me than I am of him. Like, if they don't want you to get a strike, somebody will holler out, "Hold him up, devil." I heard my friend Lloyd say that. Of course, he didn't strike, but Lloyd, man of God, he know he was just talking. David hit him smack in the forehead with that rock. And the rock, if you'll read your Bible, says it was a smooth stone. Representing part of the five gifts or the five ministries. When Goliath's other four brothers are killed, they are killed by the same purpose, for the same reason, representing the five ministries. That's why the five ministries is for the edification of the body. So David has smacked this man in the forehead. Now he done threw this rock so hard. This 9-foot man, now remember, Saul had on a helmet. If you know anything about Greek mythology, or you've watched any of the movies, you know that the helmets always had the centerpiece that come down the front. See, God wants us to see the bigger part of the mirror. But he hit him in the forehead, and it says it penetrated his forehead. So whatever he had in there, helmet he had on, was not strong enough to stop this little boy from throwing a rock hard enough to penetrate his forehead. That should tell you something. You can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens you. Nothing can separate you from God. So here's Saul laying in the ground. In the ground. I tease my wife all the time. She get country on. In the ground. Don't worry, Sister Sherry. I ain't gonna mess with you. Goliath laying on the ground. David walks up. Now remember, if you remember what we said about Saul, he's 9.5 feet tall. So his sword has got to be tall enough for it to go from his waist down. Now, if the spear, if the tip of his spear weighed 15 pounds, you can only imagine how heavy his sword was. But my Bible tells me, and I bet yours does too, that David picked up Goliath's own sword and cut his head off. Little skinny lad. Where he get that strength from? When you walk in the destiny of God, you be amazed at what you can accomplish. We just got to stay focused. See, Goliath wants to separate us from our focus in the original intent that God planned for us. I come to the conclusion it don't matter how stupid I get, Rez. God got me.
Amen.
You know what I like about God? Flesh looks on the outward appearance. God looks at the end with man.
Amen.
So God knows you're lying about who you are before you tell the lie.
Amen.
So make sure you're telling the truth about how you feel about your God.
Amen.
David picked up his sword and cut his head off. Sometimes you got to do a little bit more than wound the beast.
Amen.
You've got to take him out.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me today. You got to take the beast out.
Amen.
You got to put everything up under your feet.
Amen.
God's raising up an army today. Not just in this church, in Catholic church, in Baptist church, in Presbyterian church, churches overseas, churches in Africa, churches all over the world. God is raising himself up an army of believers that have trust and confidence in their God and in their own faith in their God. There's no way in the world David could have went out there and did what he did if he didn't know that his God was already there when he got there.
Amen.
We tend to say, well, Lord, are you going to do it? How long am I going to have to wait? Lord, when are you going to deliver me? Let me finish up. And see, another thing you have to understand. Slip my memory. Where the Philistines had encamped themselves was in the land of Judah. Goliath always wants to steal your praise.
Amen.
Judah means praise.
Amen.
Because if he can steal your praise, he can steal your joy. And if he steals your joy, you have no strength. Because the Bible says, for the joy of the Lord is your empowerment to succeed in this life according to the scriptures of God. David slew him, drew his sword from his sheath. 51, verse 51. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they did what?
Fled.
They did what?
Fled.
I didn't hear you. They did what?
Fled.
That means they ran.
Fled.
The whole army ran. Guess what they did? They left Judah. You got to stand up to Goliath in order to get your praise back.
Amen.
I know sometimes Goliath be strong. You don't have the right finance. They done threaten you. They gonna turn this off. They gonna turn that off. I got news for you though. You keep your faith and your confidence in God. God will make a way where there seems not to be a way. But you can't allow yourself to tremble and have fear at what you see and how you feel. My goodness. Try. You might like it. So David done away with us. But see, what we failed to realize, he took Saul's own sword, which was probably huge, and cut off his head because to say, I might have wounded him, but I need to destroy this flesh. God ever gave you a solution to a circumstance and you decided to do it another way because you thought it was going to cost you too much? And that circumstance came back to come against you again.
Come on now.
Because you didn't do it the way God told you to do it in the first place.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what cost you. But guess what? David's troubles didn't stop. Because he did what he did. Just because you get the victory over one situation don't mean you're not going to have another.
Amen.
But if you get through the situation, if you get through your Goliath, you'll recognize that his other four brothers are just as weak as he is.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why?
Amen.
Because you already know for a fact that you kill one.
That's right.
And guess what? This is where corporate anointing power comes in. If I know that the Terez done defeated one Goliath, I'll remember that. I remember what Terez did. My God, I can do it to this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that means it can be done.
Right.
Your life is an example of the power, the authority, the dominion, and the love of God. You have the ability to show people that we can do this thing.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
There ain't no Goliath in your life that's more powerful than the God that's in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at the word we have. Call those things that were not as though they were. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If I be for you, who can be against you? These little simple scriptures that we quote all the time, but they fall on deaf ears because we're easy to tell somebody else about them, but we forget ourselves.
Right.
Amen.
David never forgot that he killed the lion in the bed.
Amen.
And he understood that the only way that he was able to accomplish that was because he was protecting the sheep.
Amen.
We know later David went on to be king. David was first anointed by Saul. Then he was anointed by the elders. And then he was anointed by the chief Israelites. He had three anointings. Means regardless of what he went through, he was ever growing. Don't let your Goliath separate you from your growth and your maturity in God. Now listen to this. I never saw this before until the other day. In the genealogy of David, you'll find out that David automatically, for some reason, becomes the seventh son instead of the eighth. How many know that? So what that tells me is this, that after God has already began a new work in us, that we will eventually move into a place of maturity and development in God. And we know that seven is the number of perfection. I got news for you. Don't get it twisted. You ain't going to never be perfect. But you can become so mature in God, things don't bother you. Your Goliath ain't really Goliath. They ain't nothing but anthills.
Amen.
In that circumstance, people will recognize that the God that's in your life, they need him.
Amen.
If your God seems weak, people not gonna want him.
Right.
It's Stop letting your life overwhelm you to the point where you stop trusting God. And a lot of Goliaths. And a lot of them looked like they were going to kill me and take me out. But in my heart, I knew that God, what you've already determined in me, you're going to bring it to pass. Now, my flesh tried to get scared and worried. But I found out the key to victory was to keep doing the will of God.
Man.
In spite of what it is you're going through.
Yeah.
I reckon destiny likened to water on a roof. Anybody know roofs? You'll know that if you leave that water up there long enough, it'll find a way in. I don't care if you got a $50,000, $60,000 roof. You leave that water up there, it's like it's got a brain. It will find a spot and get into your building. That's the way destiny is. If you let it work long enough, it'll find a spot to get in here and do the job that God already predestined that we become. Sons and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Sons of the Most High God. I'm reminded of the tabernacle. There's the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy of holies. Say, well, we can never be perfect. We never be mature enough. But you can. Because see, the priest, the high priest, were the only ones that were able to go into the Holy of Holies. My Bible tells me that I'm a high priest.
Amen.
What makes me a high priest? Because I'm a joint heir with Jesus.
Amen.
What separates me from who I'm supposed to be? It's stinking thinking. As a man believeth, so is he. You have to remind yourself that regardless of who you are and what you look like, you are of the lineage of David.
Amen.
What makes that so? Because you've accepted Christ into your life.
Amen.
As your personal Savior. And you're on a journey. There's going to be a lot of stuff you're going to face in this journey. But I got news for you. If you trust in God.
Man.
Not a God, but the God. He'll get you through. It's in Revelations, I'm thinking. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their what?
Testimony.
The testimony. David defeated Goliath through his testimony. He told his brothers what he did. He told the other soldiers what he had accomplished. And then he told King Saul what he had accomplished. The three of them. By the time he got through telling the three of them, it was ready for number four, which is a creative mirror. And that's exactly what happened. God created a miracle for David to do what he did through destiny. The greatest explanation of what a miracle is, I heard come out of Pastor Hart's mouth. He only said it once. I never heard him say it again. But when he said it, I knew it was God. And I've never forgot it. The meaning of a miracle is when God intervenes in the affairs of mankind. I think that's a miracle, Brother Little John.
Amen.
God intervened in into David's affairs. Because if you think about it, it's highly unlikely that David in his own self had the ability to kill Goliath. But through God, he was a mighty man of valor.
Amen.
We know God has no respect to persons, so you better look at yourself and remind yourself, I'm a mighty man of valor.
Amen.
Church whines all the time about what we go through. Been there, done that. It only made me feel worse. David ain't the only one that can do this thing. We can too.
Amen.
Yeah.
We can do this. Not because we're anybody great, but because we have the great one in us.
Man.
My servant David said, is there not a cause? And there was a cause. There is always a cause to put the things that are against you that are not lined up with me under your feet. And I have called, I raised him up. And it was by my power that he overcame the lion and the bear. And it was by my power and my direction, I directed the stone that he threw, because he threw it in faith. He threw it in faith of his God, who knew his death was out there on the battlefield with him, confronting one that was much bigger, much stronger than he was. He was more mature, but I was with him. And I overcome all the odds. I overcome all of the circumstances. And if I can move for him, I can move for you, for I am the same God. I was Lord of hosts. I was called Lord of hosts back then. And I hosted the Israelites. They were my armies. And you are my body. I am still Lord of the hosts. And I have command over them. And they move in my direction, and I cause them to be victorious. Move not to the left nor to the right, nor look at your circumstances, for I'm beyond circumstances. I am created of all things. I'm the God of all flesh, and I am victory. I am your victory when you move according to my directions, when you move according to my doctrine, and when you move according to my instructions. Be not afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is always with you wheresoever you go, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wherever you go. Hallelujah.
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 Glory.
My God.
Hallelujah.
God talks to us, but do we listen?
Amen.
It's always been the key. How well do we listen to what he says? If you hear him, you'll do what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
Be not a hearer of my word only, but be doers also. For in the beginning was that word, and the word was with me, and the word is still me, said God. Yeah, I'm in thee, and thee are in me. You are in me, said God. So lift up my holy name and declare the works of my hand. For yeah, it is mighty and great. Yeah, even as I created, yeah, I made it great. And yeah, I'm still a great God. I'm the Most High. Yeah, if you lift me up, yeah, you should have the power that cometh from me. For yeah, I give it thee. This power, said God. Yeah. Yeah, this is in my promise unto thee. Yeah, that I will never fail thee, neither will I let thee go, said God. Yeah, in your interpretation of me, said God. Yeah, if you interpret that I am your God and lift me up, and I am the true one in your life, and yeah, I shall not hold back any good things from thee, said God. But the good things thing is my power and my might and my strength for thee, said God. So lift me up and carry my name on your heart and in your lips, said God. Yeah. And yea, speak my word and it shall come to pass. Yea, whatsoever you speak shall be something unto thee, said God. So lift me up and cry aloud, for I am with thee whithersoever thou goest, said God. Hallelujah.
Why? Because God's word is law. It is law. Amen. I know how this thing works. I've had to experience the way it works in order to have an understanding. The knowledge we have, the knowledge that we get, comes from the things that we deal with, the things we go through. We're supposed to learn from them. Let me show you something. Let me share this with you, then I'm going to be done. Lloyd and I have been knowing each other a long time. A long time. But we've never been as close as we are today until we both began to serve the same God. The Bible says, put your not your trust in the arm of flesh, but I trust that man with my life. That's the way God wants us to be able to trust each other with our lives. How many people can you trust with your life today? Don't think about it. You might get a headache. You know what gives us that ability? The God in us. The God in us. All the ability that David had would have been of no use if he didn't know God.
Right.
And if he didn't recognize the fact that everything that he accomplished was by the power and the hand of God. I don't know if you've read this, but it says that when Samuel anointed David the first time, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon David from then on. So, knowing that in the Old Testament, the everlasting gospel, that God did not dwell within the hearts of men, how is it possible that his spirit was on David at all times? So, that would mean, Samantha, that when David was looking out the window and saw, and then sent her husband to the front line because he knew there was no way he would survive, God was still on him. You know what that means? God ain't gonna make you serve him. You have a choice.
Man.
Everybody's
man.
You have a choice in the matter. It don't matter how great the anointing is in your life, you still have a choice. At the greatest height of my life in God, I've made the biggest blunders. I'm not ashamed to tell you, I've made the biggest blunders. And a couple of times it almost cost me my life. But I found out that victory was in God and not in me. So I got to this conclusion. Having done all the stand, you have to keep standing. You have to keep believing and trusting God. Everybody's so worried about when Jesus comes back. I don't even think about it. Because I sure don't want to come back right now. But he looked up at my heart and said, boy, you got a lot of stuff to get rid of. You sure you want me to be here right now? Everybody, I'm ready to go home. Bye. Write me a letter. We had some older people in the church that was always talking about, I'm ready to go home and be with Jesus. I said, why you keep going to the doctor? I tend to get on folks' nerves. I don't do it on purpose. Well, yeah, I do. You're so ready to go home and be with Jesus, stop going to the doctor. Stop taking your medicine. Just don't. Go get. Nevertheless, God's got us. And the reason he's got us, because we're letting this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have a choice. It can either be trial or it can be destiny. I choose destiny.
Amen.
Anything you've ever went through was not a mistake. There was a purpose and an intent with everything you experienced, everything you went through. And you have to remember that. And if you can, you'll recognize that you're in the hands of God and destiny is working its way through your life. Amen.
Amen.
Take somebody by the hand. See, realize this. When we honor God and God moves us into our destiny place, we all create a destiny for the whole body.
Yeah.
I made this statement, and it has never been more powerful to me than that. That one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. It's never been more prevalent than right now. That when we come together and our destiny aligns itself with one another, that there is no force under the earth, on the earth, in midair, or in heaven that has the power and the ability to stand against us.
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Father, we're moving and operating in our destiny. Just because we have some shortcomings, we have problems, we do understand that you're still in charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Father, let us be led by your Spirit. There are going to be times when we're not going to listen. We're going to want to do it our own way. But those are the times that we need you the most, Father.
Yeah.
To strengthen us in our hearts and to encourage us in our spirits.
Yeah.
And allow us, Father, through your word, to see the error of our ways. So, Father, as we stand fast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, let there be a creative work power manifest itself in our lives.
Yeah.
Aligning ourselves spiritually, Lord God, and supernaturally. Father, that we might experience what the other experienced, know what the other knows, so that we can hold each other up, Father.
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, David recognized something, Father. He recognized that it did not matter the statue of his problem. The only thing that mattered was the authority of his God. Let us have that same understanding, that same wisdom, and that same knowledge, that we might affect everything that we come in contact with in a positive and mature way.
Yes.
Father, let us become ministers of your gospel, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus, use us to your glory.
Yes.
Teach us, Lord God, through every trial. Teach us through all circumstance. Teach us through all persecution. Teach us, Father, through everything that we have to go through our sicknesses, Lord God, through our discouragements, Father, through our problems. Teach us how to keep trusting in you. Keeping on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, with the shield of faith, and Father, most importantly, have our feet shod with the preparation of peace. Let your word become a living, breathing entity in our lives, that we might show forth the character and the nature of the God that sent you here to give us life and life everlasting. So use us, Father, for the glory of the living God. And Father, we thank you for it right now, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Is it trial or is it destiny? You gotta make up your mind which one it is. I choose destiny. I choose it through the power of God. You may be seated.